Dateline Washington, Wednesday, March 18th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, inside the AIG hearings, we'll speak with Texas Congressman Randy Neugebauer, a member of the House Financial Services Committee, which heard today from AIG CEO Edward Liddy about those $165 million in executive bonuses that came out of your taxpayer dollars, which is part of the Wall Street bailout. We'll find out Congressman Neugebauer's attitude towards the ongoing TARP program to help bail out the financial institutions, and we'll find out whether he's supportive of legislation to tax those bonuses for the executives that don't agree to hand them back to the taxpayers. We'll also get more insight on those hearings from reporter Jennifer Bendry of Roll Call. Also in this edition of Dateline Washington, immigration raids are un-American. So says House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. We'll get reaction from Roy Beck, Executive Director of Numbers USA, and find out why he's concerned about an amnesty bill coming down the pike in just a few months. Plus, Obama's ever-growing energy tax. We'll talk with Dan Simmons of the Institute for Energy Research about how Obama's cap-and-trade plan may now result in $2 trillion in revenues from industry, and that means the industry is passing along that cost to you. All that, plus our top stories, are straight ahead on Dateline Washington. We begin with Congressman Neugebauer, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Texas Congressman Randy Neugebauer, a Republican representing the Lone Star State's 19th congressional district. He's also a member of the House Financial Services Committee, which a subcommittee of today heard testimony from AIG CEO Edward Liddy and others on the $165 million in bonuses given to executives out of the $170 billion in bailout money offered by the U.S. taxpayers through the Congress. And Congressman, thanks so much for your time today.
Well, Greg, thanks for having me on the program.
What questions did you want answered most today, and how well were they answered?
Well, Greg, I think the most important question that needs to be asked is there any chance that the American people are going to get their money back? I think, obviously, there's a lot of angst and frustration and even anger about the bonus piece of this. But the most important question that taxpayers and across the country should be asking is there a plan to get us out of our investment out of there, and is there a chance that that can actually happen?
And what did you hear today that either encouraged or discouraged you?
Well, I mean, he says he thinks that they have a plan that they will be able to get our money back. I think the question is but he did preference that the markets have to get better. And I think the question is, well, there's a lot of things that could happen if the markets get better, and is that a reasonable assumption? He indicates they've got about $1.6 trillion in very sophisticated high-risk securities, that number has come way down, but their overall game plan is to unwind that entire portfolio, but it's going to take time because they have some fairly my guess is, and we didn't get specifics, but my guess is they've got some fairly major losses in that portfolio. Those losses could get worse. They might could get better.
What has the AIG made public about its current financial standing and what it's done with the other 99.9% of the bailout money?
Well, I think that's what we really need is a more detailed accounting. He started rattling off some things in his testimony today of, things that they've done. First thing that they had to do, Greg, is that they were putting on some business, and because of their credit standing, they were not having to put up any equity in some of these transactions. And so as soon as their ratings were suspect, then everybody that had these credit default swaps with them started asking the counterparties wanted collateral. Then they were loaning securities to entities and taking that cash and reinvesting that into, mortgage-backed, high-yielding mortgage-backed instruments, obviously with a short-term obligation to pay the money back, but making long-term investments. And so, a lot of the money that they've used is just to prop up their liquidity. But the bad news now is that we're seeing a fairly major erosion in their balance sheet. I mean, when you start losing $40 billion a quarter, your company's not headed in the right direction.
What should our listeners know about AIG? It's been said it's too important not to let fail. It's been too big to let fail. What would happen if, in fact, it were left to fend for itself and potentially did collapse?
Well, Greg, I mean, that's the you know, that's the question that everybody's been asking themselves. But the, you know, the problem is when you start down this road, and when we started down it last fall, what we learned is it's very difficult to stop it. So then, you know, the auto industry has been to see Congress. You know, the banks have been to see Congress. We've got insurance companies coming to see Congress. We've got the states coming to see Congress. And so the question is at what point in time do you just kind of let the chips fall? And once the chips have fallen, then you can start stacking the chips back up. My personal opinion is we're postponing the inevitable in some of these situations. Now, maybe not all of them, but it's really not the role of government, one, to be picking winners and losers. And secondly, let's face it, Greg, government doesn't run, it isn't adept at running businesses, shouldn't be in the position of running businesses. You've got the Congress now trying to micromanage these entities because, you know, our constituents are demanding some accountability, and it's certainly, you know, our responsibility to make sure there is some accountability here.
We're talking with Texas Congressman Randy Neugebauer, a member of the House Financial Services Committee. And Congressman, it's been almost 6 months since TARP was approved by the previous Congress. What lessons have we learned about that particular package, and also about just Congress's attitude towards this crisis in the intervening time, do you think?
Well, Greg, I hope we learn we probably shouldn't have started down this road. I think what we've learned is it's very complex to start mixing public money with private corporations, and then, you know, the expectations that come with putting you know, taxpayers' money into these entities as opposed to you know, what expectations that those companies have been governed under their shareholders. And I think the chemistry has been bad, and quite honestly, I'm not sure that it was the right decision to start down this road. And as I said a while ago, I think maybe we would have better off to have gone ahead and let some early pain be inflicted and let the market begin to adapt to that. The one of the things that's always bothered me about this major government intervention is you can see the disruption that it's caused as the government has gotten into these markets. Now, Greg, what we've faced down the road somewhere is the government begins to retreat from the marketplaces, and hopefully they do that because we don't want to nationalize all of these entities. Just think of the market disruption. Then we've got it in front of us as the government begins to withdraw from the markets, and now the markets have got to learn how to function again with the government not in the room.
Congressman, obviously the spending is not done. We saw the Fed today announce it's going to spend over $1 trillion on gobbling up some more securities and so forth. What do you make of that move?
Well, I said to one of my colleagues, well, the printing presses have started. You know, and when we had Chairman Bernanke, I guess that was, 2 weeks ago or last week, I lose track of time here, but, you know, I asked him a few weeks ago if he was afraid of growing the Fed to a $5 to $10 trillion organization from its current level of $2 trillion, and he said in the short run, he's not. And, you know, what bothers me is I think we're trying to prop up not just the United States economy, but I'm afraid that we're trying to prop up the world economy, and we're either going to have to borrow a lot more money or we're going to have to print money, and quite honestly, I don't think either one of those are really good options.
In terms of where we go from here policy-wise, there's a couple of your members, at least, maybe more than that, I believe, that are asking the current Treasury Secretary, Tim Geithner, to either resign or be fired by the president. The president made it pretty clear today he's not about to fire Mr. Geithner. Where do you stand on his handling of this issue?
Well, I think he's off to a rough start, and he's been involved in this process, for a very long period of time. He just in a different capacity when he was at the Federal Reserve Bank in New York. Obviously, he was on the front lines of all of this bailout activity, and now as a Treasury Secretary, in a little different role, but on the front line. And I think what it points out is that those folks that put this plan together, it was a flawed plan, and what we see is that it's difficult to manage a flawed plan, and I've been saying is that maybe it is time to take a little breather here. Kind of don't put any more money out. Stop and take an inventory of where we are. Analyze the investment and the positions that we've already put the American people in, and then determine what is the long-term exit strategy here. But what I see going on right now is just a continuation of what I think was a flawed plan that was developed back in the fall, and that is just to keep throwing money at all of these crises.
Couple minutes left here with Congressman Nagebauer. And Congressman, you mentioned your concern about the Fed printing price getting going. And this on the same day, they announced that they're keeping short-term interest rates essentially at zero. How concerned are you about the relatively imminent encroachment of inflation?
Well, I think it's around the corner because eventually, when you begin to debase your currency by printing more and more of it, then at some point in time, that's got to be inflationary. And then, of course, then we've got a whole new situation for the Fed to be dealing with. Now, Chairman Bernanke says in the near term that he's not worried about that because he thinks that the overall weakness in the economy, near term, we don't have any inflationary worries. But I think the question is if the economy stays flat and then inflation starts creeping back in, certainly that's going to be a setback for the overall economy.
And in our last 60 seconds here, sir, I know there's legislation that could hit the floor as soon as tomorrow, specifically designed to tax the daylights out of those bonuses that for the AIG executives that won't voluntarily hand them back over. Where do you stand on something like that?
Well, I'm never for raising taxes. I'm not sure that that's the best way to create the good behavior. But what we did hear today is that some of those folks have been asked to give that money back. I would hope that they would do the right thing and realize that the American people don't have an appetite for a lot of those kind of bonuses right now. Give them back. Set some kind of deferred compensation if they accomplish their goal winding these portfolios down and the American taxpayers get their money back, then I'm certainly for, compensating those folks for that. But compensating them for the performance up to this point, doesn't make a lot of sense.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up. Very good of you to spend your time with us, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
Texas Congressman Randy Nagebauer represents his state's 19th Congressional District, a member of the pivotal House Financial Services Committee. This is Dateline Washington.